Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast, coming live from the DIA conference, DIA 3.0 in Atlanta, Georgia. Boo. Internet friends turned real life friends.
Boo, boo, boo.
We got Jenny. I don't even know your last name. What's your last name?
It's okay. My last name is Vitez.
Vitez.
I go by V for short because apparently with five letters, it's been very difficult for people to pronounce five letters.
You know, yeah, Lowell's got a problem with that, too.
You feel me, Lowell?
Let me just tell you a little bit about Jenny. One of the nicest people online I've ever met.
Oh, thank you, Brady.
Yeah.
You're most kind.
You're very supportive. You're very engaging, which is very nice.
Oh, thanks.
Right? Very buff. Strong.
Some have said that. The legends say that.
The legends say that.
Legend has it that I am somewhat buff.
You're big on fitness.
Yes, I am.
Let's just say it that way. You're big on fitness.
There you go.
Is that a good way to say it?
I'd say all those statements are accurate.
Okay.
They are true.
Fantastic. And we were at the DIA conference. Both of us were at the DIA conference last time, which was 2 years ago, but we never did meet.
Yeah. Well, we finally got to hug and say, hey, but you know what? We never actually got to sit down and chat or just stand and, you know, have my neck kind of like tilt upwards to the ceiling and chat.
Yeah.
Because you're a tall man.
We are a way better podcast to be on than Shane's stupid podcast.
Because screw Shane.
You had an experience with Shane where you said yes, which was your first mistake, was saying yes to a podcast with Shane. I said yes to a podcast with Shane yesterday, and I ended up having to brush my teeth with red frosting. I think you had a similar...
Yes, my choice was blue.
Okay.
From Walmart. Great choice.
Yeah.
And I initially opted for the shot of apple cider vinegar, which actually was the worst punishment, and then somehow he may have reverse psychologied it.
Oh, you did that one.
No, he gave me the frosting instead.
Oh,
which
okay.
I think is the better of the punishments.
Oh, way better.
Because if you saw that I did Jeopardy, his game show, and the punishment I did too.
Yeah, I did that one too.
You did too. Yeah. So you remember the punishments are pretty damn severe.
Well, they were different for my episode. Uh-huh. I had to take a shot of Tabasco sauce.
I did the same.
Okay.
I did the same. Actually, I followed suit with you. I'm like, you know what? If Brady can do it, so can I. Guy, we have survived a shot at Tabasco.
I cheated because it wasn't Tabasco. All I had in my fridge was Sriracha, which is a little bit better.
I think it's worse.
Oh, do you?
I'm not a fan of Sriracha.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not a fan of Tabasco anyway.
I'm not a fan of any kind of hot sauce, really. Sriracha isn't really hot sauce, though. It's a very, it's kind of, I don't know, would you call it hot sauce? Sriracha?
It's a hot sauce, but it has a certain kind of... I get what you mean, because it has a certain kind of pungence.
It's different.
It has a certain kind of taste to it.
Yeah.
Granted, if you can mix it in very small hints with certain foods like pho or certain American sushi rolls, that can work. But taking a whole damn shot and to live to tell the tale without any PTSD.
Yeah. You know, I've never had pho.
You haven't had pho?
No. Never. Not once.
Wow.
I know I want to. Someday I'm going to, I think, but I've never had it, but you love it, right?
Yeah,
everyone
I do.
Does.
Not as much as I love ramen, but pho, beef noodle soup of any kind, especially like Taiwanese or Chinese style beef noodle soup, because I'm half Chinese, it's like a really nice comfort food.
Yeah.
And like the times where I'm sick, I usually crave a soup, especially a clear broth. Pho is like one of those types of comfort foods when I'm sick, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it too, Brady, is that it's kind of a customizable type of dish where you have your base broth, whatever meats you want to choose, and usually it's like a rare ribeye steak that's been sliced in it, and you get the noodles, you get the bean sprouts, and then where you can customize it is, you know, in the stuff like how much basil you want to add in, and then you know, you add in the hoisin and that sriracha, and you know, you can either go like a couple squirts or you just go like McDonald's style. You choose however the hell you want to go, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, I spend most of the time in the podcast when we go on tangents like this thinking, okay, wait, let me work backwards in our conversation. We were talking about pho. Well, why were we talking about pho? Because we were talking about something else.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
And then you lose track. See, I couldn't do it. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Jenny's a dentist.
I'm a dentist.
And let's start with that. We'll get back to whatever I forgot.
Sure. But
Jenny is a dentist, and you are from California.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are you originally from California? You just practiced there?
Not originally, actually. Okay. Originally, like, I was born in New Jersey, but I grew up for the first 5 years of life in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So that's official originally is Pennsylvania.
Young child was, okay, but growing up, home was California.
No, in the middle of those two. I lived in Nebraska for 7 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't even know people lived in Nebraska.
Oh, people do. And you know what? Honestly, I enjoyed my time in Nebraska. And
the New Yorkers call it a flyover state.
Yes, they do.
That's rude.
I know. It is very rude, especially because, you know, there are like three locations in the world that are best known for their beef. And two of the three are like are Kobe, Japan and Omaha, Nebraska. And you know, when the Japanese don't want to spend so much money on Kobe beef, they order from Nebraska.
The Omaha steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you ever had Nebraskan beef, you know, you'll understand what I mean by, you know, when I moved here to California, I can't really find a good steak. It's like nothing will ever compare. And Nebraska has ruined me of beef.
You know, I just bought a cow.
You bought a cow?
Well, like a butchered cow.
Ah. But still, you bought a whole cow?
It lives in my freezer.
It lives in a frozen state.
His name was Michael, and he liked being read to. He liked nursery rhymes, from what I understand. And I didn't get a personality bio on my cow, but I did buy a cow. It's I eat a lot of meat, so it just makes sense. Like, I think it boils down to like $3 or $4 a pound, and I get an array of like ground beef and roasts, sirloin roast, chuck roast, prime rib roast, steaks. All different kinds of cuts of steaks. And then you get weird stuff, which is fun.
I bet. They
call it stew meat, which is just like, kind of like, it's not really any kind of part. It's just like, it's just there.
It's just there.
It's just something. And then you can get organs. You can get bone broth. They'll give you bone broth from...
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say too. Like, if you have the entire cow, then you can have other parts that most otherwise, you know, most people don't think and consider. Yeah,
yes.
Like you get the bones or like certain cuisines. I know like certain recipes of menudo, for instance, menudo soup would demand the whole head of the cow. I've heard of good recipes of where they call for the brains of the cow.
So I used to live in Paraguay. I was a missionary for my church. Yeah, it was great. And what they would do, they had these big parties. And we had the big party, they would cut the head off a cow and bury it underground, start a huge bonfire on top of it, and they would party the whole day, play games and you know, run around and do things while the cow's head was cooking. And at the end of the day, at night, they would remove the bonfire and then take the head out, and they'd eat everything but the eyes. That was the only part that wasn't eaten, was the eyeballs. Everything else was consumed, and it's all really good. It's interesting. Even like the masseter muscle. Like, the masseter muscle is a pretty big slab of meat.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When you a cow's head is huge. It's kind of like a little alarm, like, wow, that's a lot of meat from the cow's head, which is not even like what we normally, that's like discarded by most people.
Yeah, for most people it is. And not to mention the kind of beauty of having that is that it's a group, you know, it's a group participation thing, and it becomes a whole event for everybody to share. And at the very end of all the festivities, they get to share in, you know, they get to kind of reap in the benefits of what it is that they had cooked together. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
I think so. It was fun and it was tasty and I liked it. Let's talk about social media.
Okay,
sure. Because that is what's brought us together.
Yes, it has.
Right? So DIA is a conference. I think most people are like into social media. It's probably why they're here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And more or less in some way, whether it's either passive or, you know, they're really like just taking the bull by the horns.
Yeah. Now, one of the speakers talked about today. Did you catch John Marachi?
I did get to catch his lecture.
So it was interesting because there is a toxic element to social media. There's some good things and there's some bad things. But that's what I like about you, because here's what I like about you, Jen.
Yeah, okay.
Here's what I like about you. What I like about you is you're so positive. And I love seeing comments from Jenny on my social media feed, because you're so positive. And
well,
it's so nice. And so it's great to meet and there's like a few people that like online, they're online. I see them. We interact. We've talked, chatted, DM'd, whatever.
Yeah.
Comment on each other's stuff, like each other's stuff, and you get to meet them in person, and it's really fun. I enjoy that. I imagine you have a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because you are probably a little more engaging than I am. And so you probably have a lot of people who are like, Jenny, hey.
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of a crazy thing that you mentioned it too, because I was initially shy of the idea of starting an account, and it was a former boss of mine who had the idea of me joining on as a way of like free advertising. And then I found it to be a much better networking opportunity where you don't have to just share your craft, because anybody in our field can share their craft. But then it's more of seeing that there's a person, a human being behind that white coat or behind all that work. And I also know too, like from personal experience, I used to be a very negative person, but I was never really happy. I was really miserable. And it kind of came with this revelation of, well, do I want to continue being this miserable person, or do I want to change, you know, anything about me? And the one thing I thought of is my way of seeing the world. And I felt like if I could try to find something good about it, or try to make a spin, like even with getting here 6 hours late, yeah, granted, I missed out on Thursday night with catching up with you guys before even registering. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a few hours of sleep.
It's true.
Versus having to wake up like before the butt crack of dawn, you know, for a very early flight coming from the West Coast. And the other thing I also found, Brady, was that being positive but without faking it seemed to be a very good, contagious thing to get then share to others. And people just seem to, you know, take a shining to that. And it seemed like it became something very contagious. And, you know, it's a really nice thing where all I do is just, I say something where it's not that I'm forcing it. It's truly genuine, where if I'm going to really say, hey, I like what you said, or that is so damn funny, or, you know, like insert whatever comment here, but I would say it where it's my own words instead of just, it's amazing. And yeah, people take you know what I'm talking about. I hate that damn word.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
I like what you're saying so much. Because it's like, I think most people operate on, there's like 47 things that could go wrong that could prevent you from being happy. In order for me to be happy, I had to have all these parameters, all these boxes that need to be checked. And if one of them goes wrong, I'm unhappy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are like that. Like, I have to have, this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. If it doesn't happen, then I'm going to have a bad day.
Right.
But what if it was the opposite?
Right.
What if 47 things had to go wrong for you to be unhappy instead of like, because you always have the one thing, right? Like, I woke up and I'm breathing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And, you know, that's where I think John, I wish, kind of discussed it. But at the same time, you know, he's given such a limited amount of time to talk. But
sure.
I think part of the toxicity with social media involves where we see what we think is somebody living in, another phrase I don't like is living their best life. We only have one life, for goodness sake. So it's not best life. It's, you know, a good part of your life, or you're living wonderfully. But they don't understand there's other things, you know, going on with that person, or they just take it personally for themselves and see, well, they're living things wonderfully, why can't I? Well, you know, we have the power to change things. So like you said, exactly, like, you know, there are things that could go wrong, but at the same time, like you could be stuck in traffic, but hey, at least you have a car. At least, you know, you're in your car, you're safe.
At least you're listening to Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast.
Yeah, that's right. At least you're listening to our wonderful melodic voices.
Yes.
La, la, la.
Yeah. So it's just like when you said, like, I'm late for your plane got delayed, I'm assuming. Is that what happened with you?
Yeah, it got delayed. So I now live in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And Santa Barbara now, I just found out, you know, kind of similar to where I was living before in California, in the South Bay area, as we get very dense fog. And apparently that's something I was familiar with in the central, like, inland part of California, is that we can get some very dense fog. And so dense, you can't see beyond 500 feet. So unfortunately, planes cannot safely land. So on the one hand, I thought, shit, well, I can't make it here the time I want to. But at the same time, like, number one, American Airlines, who I got my ticket through, were helping me out in any way possible to be able to reaccommodate my flight. And And number two, hey, at least I get to have a few more hours of sleep. Like,
that's what's so awesome, because it's like you are fighting like a innate urge to go to like unhappiness, right? Like you're like you could easily
in a way, yeah.
You could easily get pissed, and right, and no one would judge you for being pissed about a late, like a delayed flight. That's a really inconvenient thing.
It's natural. It's human.
And so it's almost like the battle. What I'm interested in is the psychology of like in your brain. It's like, I don't want to get mad, so I'm going to start talking about like, well, at least I get more sleep. Yeah. At least they're helping me. At least they're like doing a good job helping me. Like, it's a crappy situation. It's weather related. So it's like, they can't help it. And you're starting to go through all these little things like,
yes.
Like, and what you're doing, I think psychologically, is you are protecting your own happiness.
In a way,
what do you think?
I think where you're getting at, it was actually kind of a revelation that I had, you know, early on in my career when I was at that point of being unhappy is there's this, I remember in taking comparative religions class in high school, one principle I remember in Buddhism is where there are things in our, I mean, and it's also a Christian concept as well, that there's a certain point that you have to have that realization that there are things that are not within our power to change.
Yes.
So if there are things that are out of our control, well, there are things that are within our control. We just have to roll with the punches, so to speak. It's in that serenity prayer, right? Aware it's, we, you know, where we mm-hmm. should have the ability to...
Grant me the wisdom. No, wait. Hold on. I don't know. Serenity prayer. Hold on.
We got to look this up.
We got to look it up.
I'm freezing here, and I shouldn't be, but the power, but the
isn't it weird?
Prayer.
Isn't it weird that Lowell can't hear us? He's standing right next to us. Because of all the noise, though, he can't hear us, and we can hear each other perfectly.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't mind. He's busy with N64, so he's playing GoldenEye.
Yes, he is. Yes. And he's wearing an epic shirt.
There we go. That God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Boom.
And it's loading. Dang it, Amazon! Stab it.
Screwed again.
Here we go. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think the sooner that you understand what those words mean, but not only understand them, but to apply them, I think the happier that you can be. And yeah. I apply that very much in life, and it seemed to have paid off in dividends.
Yeah. There is a movie. You remember the movie with Brad Pitt called 7 Years in Tibet?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I have seen that movie.
It's probably been a long time. It's an oldie but a goodie, for sure. It's probably a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah.
But I still remember a phrase that stuck with me from that. There was a point where Brad Pitt's character, someone's talking to him about, or maybe he's talking to someone, about like, why doesn't this bother you? So this should bother you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, or that something should, you know, this should bother me. And anyway, the advice that was given was, well, if you can change it, then you should be happy about that because you can change it. And that's positive, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you can't, well, then you have to live with it and there's no reason to dwell on it because you can't change it. So you just need to identify if you can change it or if you can't change it. And either way, either outcome should put you in a place where you can rest easy.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's the Buddhist way of seeing the serenity prayer. Mm-hmm. So is exactly that line is,
yeah.
Because by the time that you understand, you know, the difference between what it is that is within your control, which versus what it isn't, what isn't in your control, then with that kind of wisdom, you're then able to, you know, to be better off for it.
Yeah.
And it's,
I love it.
Yeah, it's funny how people are in denial of that, or they just, I don't know, maybe they just get hung up on what is out of their power. And I mean, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes some of us just want some sort of sense of control. Like that's kind of part of our industry is
I
where.
I love being in control.
Oh yeah.
I love it. It's like my favorite thing.
And I mean, we all want to have control of things, but then, you know, as soon as all of a sudden we don't have that capability, somehow we feel bad to have to relinquish it
mm-hmm.
or to feel like we don't have it at all.
Yeah. It's tough. It's very tough. And you were just telling me last night, you were on, like you are fresh off of kind of a bad experience at a dental office.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this? Can we talk about this?
Maybe in limited amounts. So that way, you know, I don't have to plead the fifth that much.
Well, you had a situation, I'll just say this. You had a situation that you could easily dwell on the negative.
Yes.
But you changed it.
Yes.
And so you put this in practice. which is, and I remember asking last night, so you're happy with what you, with the change? And you said, yes, I'm happy. And that's the key, is that you identified a problem. You found yourself in a situation that you couldn't control.
Yep.
And so you decided, what can I do? Found a solution. You changed it. We don't have to get any more specifics than that. But that's just a really fresh example that we talked about last night, where it's
absolutely.
Like you changed it and now you're happier and things are going along well, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, even I've had that wisdom before where, I mean, that wasn't the first job I've ever been in. I've been in other previous jobs and I've had that wisdom where I know there's only so much that I can complain about or I find negative. But then I think, okay, where are the ways of where I can change it? So the amount I will say is at least I was at that breaking point where one of the practices I was working before, I was at that breaking point where everything I was trying to change wasn't going to change. But I had that foresight of, well, if I know for sure it's not going to change, then the only thing that can change is me leaving.
Yeah.
That would be the one thing that would change, is if I'm even in the picture at all. And I probably taken too long with maybe seeing my first job when I was miserable or worse. But because I caught it sooner, I was better off finding that out and then being happy where I am now.
Yeah. That's great. What a great message. That's great. I didn't even know we were going to talk about that when we had you on. You said, where's this going to go? And I said, I don't know. We're just going to find out.
But that's the best kind of conversation, you know, is where it's organic. You don't have to, like, force a bunch of questions. And I don't really think that you're the type that has, like, this list of questions. Like, this is going to be a formal Q&A.
Ooh, that is not me.
Question number one, what is your favorite color? Question number two, what is your shoe size?
Yeah, those would be good. Those would be good questions. That's what I'd probably come up with if I did sit down and be like, what am I going to ask Jenny? What is your favorite color? I don't know what your favorite color. No, it's but what a great message about, like, just changing what you can. It's just fun to have internet friends become real friends.
I agree, man. I really agree.
It's just nice. It's delightful.
It is, especially because I say this over and over again with DIA. If one of the things that I've learned with this dental convention compared to most other conventions, Brady, and you may probably agree with me on this, or maybe you have a different point of view or perspective, but I feel like with this convention, what makes it unique is the ability to have others be approachable already, like you said, through social media, but it makes us realize how much smaller this world really is because of the fact that instead of us being apart through geographic distance, we have social media, something that, you know, defies that kind of geographic distance apart. It finds us, you know, no matter what, and it gives us an opportunity to see, you know, not that we're colleagues, but we're people with common interests or a common sense of humor. I mean,
And I like to surround myself with people with a similar sense of humor. And sometimes you laugh at my memes.
Sometimes I laugh at them all the time, man. I just love the fact that you have a wicked good sense of humor.
Listen, I need to hear that from time to time, because I got to make sure my memes need to hit hard. That's very important to me. My memes hit hard.
Oh, they do. Yeah. And I also like the fact that you don't play it safe in terms of the humor. And the reason why I like that is because, and like you said too, one part of the toxic problem with social media is that with comedy and with humor, there's a certain breaking point in this change, I think, with culture right now, where people forget that when it comes to humor, humor can't be compromising. It has to be uncompromising. And otherwise, if you're allowed to say certain things but you're not allowed to say others, then that's where you border towards censorship, and then what's the point? And not to mention, too, there has to be some degree of offense, no matter, you know, like, in order for humor to work, in order for it to hit. And if you don't have that ability to offend, and we're not talking like major offense like racism, but just like it has to hit you in a personal way is what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if it struck a chord, then clearly somehow there has to be a truth to it.
Listen, dentists understand other dentists' pain, because we all live the same.
We all live
the same nightmares.
Yeah, so, and that's the kind of suffering I mean, you know, that kind of offense in
so
a way.
It's fun to make light and to commiserate a little bit through memes.
Bingo. It's not like Sean Freund where you're laughing at somebody's misery, but rather, like you said perfectly, is I know what you felt. I felt that too. So that's why there's the humor. It's a way that we can connect.
What's your Instagram handle? I don't even have it memorized. What is it?
It's okay. It's so it's Jenny V DMD. So
that's what it is.
Yeah. Jenny with a Y on V underscore DMD.
That's what it is. Follow her. She's awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
Before we wrap up, we do so a lot of my patients listen to Drill with Dr. Brady. And so we do $500 of free dental work every single episode.
That's
via
okay.
a magic word or special secret word.
Uh-huh.
And as my guest, I would like to offer you the opportunity to give us a secret word, which our listeners can then use to cash in on 500 Lowell calls them Brady Bucks.
Okay.
I like it.
How about this? Thank you for that honor.
You're welcome.
Since we have a little bit of a Squid Game theme right now with DIA 3,
it's true.
I'm gonna pick the word umbrella.
Ooh.
You like that?
Ooh, that's good. I like that. Okay, everybody, email the word umbrella to drilledpodcast@gmail.com. The fifth person who comes up with that word is going to get $500 of free dental work to do whatever they want with, even gift it to someone else who might need it more than you do. We let that happen. It's great. It's a great gift. Fifth person email, drilledpodcast@gmail.com. The secret word is umbrella. Jenny, I'm going to let you get back to the conference. This has been fun.
This has been fun. Thank you for having me on,
I'm excited
Brady.
For the rooftop party tonight. What?
Right?
What? We're going to get silly. We're going to get silly tonight.
We're going to raise some hell.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay. Hell yeah.
This has been fantastic. Thanks, Jenny, for coming on. We will keep in touch for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And tune in next week with us where we will have maybe another guest from DIA, because I got some other people we're going to get on. This is going to be awesome. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.